Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I'm looking forward to not having a corrupted file.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the problem was that when we recorded it, at the very end, Kevin's dog, like, came running down and knocked the recorder. And I think it was fine, but I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the reason.
Let's just go ahead and blame the dog.
I'm going to blame the dog. I don't like dogs that much. It's just too much work.
You wouldn't. I don't like owning a dog, but I love dogs.
I mean, I kind of, I'm like that, too. It's just, I don't know. I always grew up with dogs, and I think I convinced myself that I like them, and then now that I'm an adult living with my wife, I'm just like, why would I want to own a dog?
Yeah, I like dogs a lot. I just don't want to take care of one because they're like a kid. Like, you have to pay attention to them. You have to play with them. Like, you can't, if you don't, you're abusing your dog. Like, you have
give
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're expensive. Like, you know, they're a little kid.
That's why I like my cat. He poops in a box.
Yes, cats are very low. Like, cats maintain you.
Yeah, pretty much.
they think you're a shitty hunter, so they bring you dead birds. They're like, here, eat this.
No, dead idiot. Mice, usually. That's
whatever.
What my cat brings.
Eat this, idiot.
You dummy.
Yeah. That is correct. And cats are very low maintenance. They're the fish of mammals.
They're the fish of mammals. I like that comment.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. And with me, as always,
Classy Spooky. I think this is our only. This is going to be our only Halloween time episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So we got to bring the spoops.
Yeah. This. So we have here the. I guess I'll call the. Jack Skellington to my...
I'm the Oogie Boogie.
The Oogie Jack Boogie Skellington. To my Jack Skellington, yes. Steve.
I'm the Oogie Boogie Man.
Whoa.
That movie's not that good.
What, Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah, it does not deserve all of the accolades that people constantly give it.
I just like it because it's short. It's 70 minutes
it
long.
It is. It's short. I mean, the animation's great. The songs are okay, but like...
My biggest problem with that movie...
I don't get like the jizz... It's like a Hot Topic thing.
Yeah.
It just like generated itself.
Well, and it's also pretty unique in terms of like what it was at the time. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with that movie is the way that the score works. Is that you start off with this an amazing song. This is Halloween or Halloween Town or whatever it's called at the time. And you have this fantastic opening. And then you never quite hit a song until What's This? Which is great. And then there's like nothing else that kind of does that. You don't get like the big ending song that you need for
finale.
There's no good finale musical number that you need in a movie like
that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, the Oogie Boogie song's pretty good.
But it's not like a climactic song.
No,
film.
You need like...
It's a good villain song.
Yeah, but what you need is you need...
Which continues the longstanding tradition of Disney villains generally having really good songs.
Meh.
Like, I can't think of... I'm running through my head of all the villain songs, and like all the ones that I can think of are great. Like Gaston, Hellfire from Hunchback of Notre Dame. Jafar doesn't get a song.
No, he doesn't. Which is kind of a shame in that movie.
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Yeah.
They're all great.
Like, Be Prepared.
Be Prepared, also good. Yeah, the villain.
Yeah, and...
Princess of the Frog. Yeah, Dr. Facilier. His song's great. Friends on the Other Side.
Yeah. That song's not quite great because that's a Randy Newman score, and Randy Newman, all his songs are just the same thing repeated
over and
over.
But he's got friends on the other side, Joe.
I know, that's all he says throughout the entire song, so of course we get that.
Don't you diss Randy Newman. Next thing you'll be shitting on Michael McDonald.
Go home. No, Randy Newman's terrible. And
only
I don't...
a fool believes a boss man has the power.
Tricking into the treats. Yeah. No, I am a big hater, Randy Newman hater. Yeah. And like, I know I have some friends who love Randy Newman.
I'm indifferent about Randy Newman.
Him.
Although Estoy un Amigo in me, I think the Spanish version of You've Got a Friend in Me is the best thing ever. it's got like the salsa, like.
And I think it's just like his songwriting ability is really piss poor. I mean, he just kind of repeats the same thing over and over again, like. And I've got friends on the other side. I've got friends. That's all he does. The entire Princess and the Frog soundtrack. And trust me, as having a 5-year-old girl, I've heard every Disney soundtrack a billion times.
I like that song.
They just repeat the same thing over and over again.
I still like that song.
Yeah. And Randy Newman with, I mean, You Got a Friend in Me is another example. You got friend me.
That kind of sounds like Bob Dylan.
No. Bob Dylan sound like this. I'm going now. But no, Randy Newman is. I hate Randy Newman. Anyway.
We learned something today. You have
intense hatred of Randy Newman.
I'll keep that in mind.
Sure, people ain't got.
I love that song.
No reason.
I heard that song on the radio. I'm like, how is this a real thing?
Because.
People got. No reason to live.
For some odd reason, in the late 70s, early 80s, like, they really got, not Hollywood, but, like, the music industry got really into singer-songwriters. And so that's why, like, you started seeing, like, people like Billy Joel getting really big in the late 70s.
Billy Joel's terrible.
But it's because, like, that's what Hollywood kind of, what the music industry glommed onto. And so they kept pushing that. And you got people like Randy Newman, who is nothing more than a piano bar player, it just getting like super famous for putting out terrible songs. But anyway, so Dragonfall happened. So we got our sponsor is now telling us to keep on promoting for Polar Vortex, which is the next big event.
Nice.
For them. It's over at the College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn.
Okay.
It's another gaming tournament, straight up gaming tournament. When I stopped by Dragonfall and it was pretty crazy. I mean, they had a lot of stuff going on and like some cool tables. So
did you hit up the auction, the Bazaar?
I did not. I was super busy all last weekend, so I just managed to get in there. I talked to some people that I know.
I did the Armies on Parade last weekend.
Did you?
I did.
Where was it at?
Well, there was one at every workshop store. I went to the one in Geneva.
Oh, okay. I'd like to have seen that. But
it was what you'd expect. There was like the quote unquote bunker rat kid armies. Then there were like some guys who were like, that army is adequate. And then I was like, I'm going to actually, like, when I was setting up, I was looking around, I'm like, I'm going to fucking destroy this. Like, no close. And then two dudes walk in and they have gigantic displays. And I'm like, fuck. That one of them, I guess he's like kind of known. I don't know. He's got like a bunch of, his name's, John McAvoy. I don't know. He's like,
tennis star,
not James McElroy.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm surprised you knew that.
The
John McEnroe is who I'm thinking.
John McEnroe, that's yeah. Right. Who's James McAvoy?
Is he the guy that plays Professor X in the X-Men movies?
Probably.
Okay.
His display was fucking insane, and he had like a ridiculously good pre-heresy Death Guard army. I was like, well, that guy's winning, and he fucking won super hard, and I was like, that's good. Yeah. Then there was a dude who came in after him, also with a gigantic display board, who had, it wasn't bad. It was just like a very well-painted, like, by the numbers Ultramarines army. There was like no bells.
Ultra!
Yes, there was no bells, no whistles, just a very clean paint job. And I'm like, well, that guy's coming in second. So I'm like, fuck, maybe I got a shot at third. And I lost to the kid who's popular in the store. That kid got third. I was like, fuck, because it is still, you know,
it's still a workshop.
It's voting. Yeah. Well, it's customer and voting. Yeah. So when you walk in, you know, everyone votes. So he had like a little posse of his like rat friends to vote for him.
I'm with,
like,
Tim Lyson. Never allow the masses to vote because the Dark
Democracy
Eldar
is a sham.
Democracy. I've said it once. So I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work. But Polar Vortex. So you're going to have game demos, board game library, silent auction for charity, play win to win tournaments for 40K, X-Wing, D&D Adventure League,
ooh,
Call of Cthulhu RPG, Shadowrun Missions, Pathfinder Society, Magic the Gathering, and, oh, with vendors and more. So,
ooh, interesting.
Yes. So
sling some cards and roll some dice.
Yeah, it's not till January 27th to 29th.
Hence
the College of DuPage.
Polar Vortex thing.
Yeah. College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. So, you Cubs fan?
Nope. Not a fan. I'm not a fan of sports.
We almost had a tennis reference.
But the dream, right? But we failed at the tennis reference.
Yeah, we did.
The dream now. I have a possibility, which I'm hoping for. So right now, the Cubs have never been in a World Series for like 100 years or whatever.
1945,
so,
actually.
Whatever.
1945. We defeat Hitler. 2016. This close to electing him.
Double Hitler.
Double Hitler.
So. Here's the thing. They now have the opportunity to get swept at the World Series, to just go and lose every game. And I think, for me, that would be the ultimate because that would break the most hearts.
Oh, I agree.
The sports
completely.
Fans.
I am so with you on that.
So, like, if they go in and they just completely shit the bed and get swept 0-4, like, I'm that fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. That's what I want. Because I do not think the city of Chicago will be able to withstand the riots when they win.
No, I don't think the city of Chicago will be able to handle, like, two solid months of, like, Cubs stuff that's going to happen. I'm not a Cubs fan.
Dude, the city's going to burn.
The
city's going to burn.
Let me just tell you this. There's going to be a lot of Chach Bros walking
I just want him to lose. That's all I want. I want him to lose horribly, and I want him to lose dirty. Like really dirty. Just, like, fucking get wrecked.
Well,
like, 12-0.
Well, the Vegas percentage has them at a greater chance of winning the World Series than Donald Trump winning the election. So I'm okay with that.
I mean, Donald Trump's chances are super fucking low. So,
all right,
like, at this point, it's like you're just throwing your vote away. You should just vote for someone else.
No, but please, let's do everything we possibly can not to get him elected. So anyway, we have let's talk some gaming stuff.
But what about the Trump stakes he promised?
Trump stakes and getting educated to Trump U
and Trump wine.
Yeah. Trump bottled water.
We could have it all.
We could. It could be all there for us. We
could have it all.
Let's talk about some gaming stuff.
And Pepe.
So, let's start a Games Workshop kind of like we normally do. A couple things. One, the
burning
Games Workshop.
Prospero?
No, well, yeah. I mean, okay. Burning a Prospero. Another Heresy box starter set.
Very nice.
Looks great. In the same vein as Battle of Kalth, you can't really.
It's got Custodes and Sisters of Silence, which was like kind of a double surprise. It's like, oh, they actually made models for both of those things.
Yeah. Ooh, the Adeptus Custodes. They're the Imperial janitors.
Right. They got a custodiate.
That's why their hats look like that. They just put it in the toilet to unclog it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. And then they take it off and they mop the floors.
That's reasonable. Yeah. I thought they mopped the floors with their, like, staff gun.
No, that's
they
why
they shoot the dirt.
That's why
the
their point. That's why their pointy elf hats have, like, the big frill on the top. That's the mop.
I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Nothing crazy there. I mean, it's a great buy. I would just buy it. Is it a self-contained game?
It is a self-contained game.
Yeah.
In addition to being a starter.
And so it's a self-contained game that no one will play. That's great. Thumbs up.
Hey, people want those models.
Yeah.
People are jizzing themselves about it.
I just don't understand why we have to put up with the pretense of it being a self-contained game.
You know what? Someone out there has probably played all of these games.
Yeah. Hey, they're Games Workshop employees who go in and say, no, you know what? You really should play the game. It's actually not that bad. You're like, shut up, you wiener kid. Give me my models.
Because I know, like, Lost Patrol is like, that's the one where it's Gene Sealers versus Scouts.
Scoots.
And it's like, from what I've heard, it is the worst balanced game in the world. Like, you can't, like,
the games aren't designed to be games.
Dude's trying to punt with Gene Sealers and is still winning. Well, we'll see. I haven't heard anyone. That's the thing. Like, there's the games that actually look like they might be games in the box, I haven't heard anyone play them.
Yeah.
The games that look obviously are just like, we threw some models in this box, people play them and, like, they threw some models in this box.
Yeah.
But, like, the previous one, the Betrayal at Kalth or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that one, like, looks like a game. It actually looks like a real game in addition to being, you know, 30K minis.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone who's played it.
Because no one has.
Lost Patrol, which looks as, it's clearly they just threw some sprues in a box. People are like, yeah, they just threw some sprues in a box. But I know people who've played Lost Patrol.
That's weird.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So. But, so Fantasy and Games Workshop is releasing old fantasy models again in metal.
Yeah, the print on demand thing.
What?
Yeah, I saw the Imperial Guard, and they're not ridiculously expensive. Did you see it was 10 Kasserkins for $40?
I know.
Metal Kasserkins for $40.
No,
what?
And Slime Marbo is coming to come back.
Finally.
Slime Marbo.
Hey, all I can say the GW Goodwill Tour continues.
I know. It's the Diamond Jubilee, as I like to call it.
The Diamond Jubilee. I like that.
Good old Games Workshop's touring the parts of its empire that are slowly crumbling, just like the British Empire. Mm,
giving out snacks and cakes.
Some Roosevelt dimes. Some, you know, something fun like that.
I collected my auction. My auction winnings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent it all on Lord of the Rings models.
Of course you did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the plan. I was just like, I'm going to spend whatever I get on Lord of the Rings minis.
I got my stuff, and I spent about half of it on Team Yankee stuff.
The fuck is that?
This
is some shitty historical thing, isn't it?
No, it's not historical. Well, I guess technically it's historical, but it's World War III.
Okay. I was like, I hear that, and I think Civil War. So I'm just like,
no, no.
Are you becoming a Civil War guy?
Oh God, no. No, it's done.
I'll have you know, the Civil War was one of the most pivotal moments in American history. It was the most bloody battle that America's ever had. They've had more casualties than every other American war combined.
I call it the War of Secession or the War of Northern Aggression. No, it's like an alternate history, kind of like 15 mil Flames of War style World War III.
So are there super nukes?
No, there are not super nukes, but there are lot. It's interesting to say the least, and it's something that's pretty self-contained. Like, you don't, like, there's not going to be like, well, you're going to play America in 1985 and 1992 and 1998. No, it's none of that. It's just all in one time period. So you could just do like a really simple thing. It's one of my big complaints about Flames of War is that you have all these armies stretching across multiple years. So you can't actually have like,
there's no fucking game.
There's no, yeah, it's,
you know, that is one of my biggest peeves about all of those historical games. It's like, if you're going to do a historical game, limit it. Like, if you're going to do World War II, be like, this is 1940.
Yeah.
Like, whatever year you think is best to make your game, but just, that's the fucking year. So say, Butt Action. I'd release Butt Action 1940, and then everything in the game would be set up off of what's going on in 1940.
Yeah. That's a big problem of what's happening in Bolt Action is because when you go to tournaments, it's everything is pretty late war because early war can't really compete. At least in certain aspects. I mean, yeah, you can compete, but it's not going to be as easy as rolling up with a Panther tank and just being like, ha, 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 ha.
Right. It's like playing the all chariot list versus like Gaul footmen in like an ancients game. It's like that. Yes, the Gaul footmen would definitely lose to an entire chariot army, but yeah. That's not good for a game.
Yeah, I. Team Yankee so far, from what I've seen, I kind of like it. I just bought a bunch.
You should
of
just refer to
crap.
It as Teen Yankee.
Teen Yankee.
Yeah, to get anyone who's really into it upset.
Yeah, it sounds like what I do in my bedroom when I was 16. Nice. Teen Yankee.
I was thinking it would be like Teen Wolf, and he would just turn into a Yankee in the full moon.
I like this idea.
It'd be, you know, he'd have a thick Southern drawl and be like, the South is going to rise again, I tell you, mama. And then when the moon goes up, he's just like suddenly like, ah, suddenly I no longer have incestuous thoughts about my sister. I feel educated. I don't think 9/11 was an inside job. And then there you go. And he becomes Teen Yankee, you know, and then he's like, and he longs.
Who's Dale Earnhardt?
Yeah. Dale Earnhardt. I've never heard such a name.
Who would name their child Dale? Tis a silly thing.
See, there you go.
But
I
also,
I got it covered.
Rumors are a swirling in the 40K universe. Apparently, the rumor has it that 40K is getting its own end time.
Yeah, it's doing the Last Black Crusade. That's what the...
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, well, that's what the books are pointing towards.
Yeah.
It's going to be the
Wasn't the Last Black Crusade like a Fall Out Boy album or something
it's
like
another,
that?
No, that's the Last Black Parade.
Was that Fall Out Boy? I don't know.
Fuck if I know.
Yeah,
I hate music. I'm surprised I got that. I got the first half right.
That's true.
So it's gonna be a Black Crusade. That's gonna be an end times thing. So,
Do you think they're gonna redo the rules? Like a full like go full Age of Sigmar?
I'm going with the speculation crowd, and I'm gonna say that they're probably gonna go with the split. Like, people are saying they're going to do the 30K and 40K. And 30K is going to be completely focused on, Marine versus Marine. And that's the majority of the game. And that's going to have the in-depth, like, super ridiculous rules and, like, a whole bunch of shit in it. Like, the super complicated stuff is going to be in 30K.
Okay.
And then in 40K, they're going to do a simplified version. They're going to streamline it, like, similar to Age... Not exactly, but similar to Age of Sigmar.
I think that they're going to go with what they learned with Age of Sigmar, wherein you have to include points.
Yes.
Everyone's going to want points.
Or slots. Like, they don't necessarily have to do points.
That's true. You could do slots.
They have to be like, you can just take a troop as a troop, you know. That's also fine.
Yeah. I mean, either one would be, I think, would be okay.
Yeah. Something. I mean, some army construction rule needs to exist.
Yeah. I think, like, I don't know if, I think the points would probably work best. The way that...
Points would work best just for workshop, but I'm saying, like, they might try and go with it. If they're going to try and go with a different direction, which I don't think they will, because I think they felt lambasted enough about points for Age of Sigmar. And you, before any, like, yes, points don't perfectly balance the game, and adding points to the game don't mean it's balanced, but it gives you a better idea, and it gives you a reason to use some things. Like, with Age of Sigmar, before, when there were no points, there is, if you're playing Skaven, there is absolutely no reason to use any infantry other than Storm Vermin. There is none. Like, if a Storm Vermin, because if nothing has points, that means everything is equal, which means that one Storm Vermin versus one Skaven Slave, you look at their stat lines, you're like, why would I ever use the Skaven Slave? There's literally no point. The entire reason to have those weaker chaff units is to fill up, you know, points.
Yeah.
And, or just be a cheap option. It'll be like, I'm going to sacrifice this to, you know, hit an objective. Like, I don't care if this unit dies, it's 30 points. You know, that's what it's for. It helps with your tactics and helps with your army building. But with no points, you're just like, I'm just going to keep putting Storm Vermin on the table because they're really good.
Yeah, no, it's exactly it. And that if you could use points to encourage people to take things that they normally wouldn't use. Like, let's say you're playing Eldar and you want to take a Grav Falcon, which I don't think anybody ever takes anymore.
I don't think so.
If you make a Grav Falcon, 5 points.
A bargain.
Yeah. And all of a sudden people are taking Grav Tanks. And you're like, holy shit, this is great. I mean, that's my 2 cents on that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Well, that's always my problem with any sort of game where you're doing points is like, yes, I know that it doesn't absolutely balance out, like you said, but there's this unit no one ever takes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get people to try and take this unit by making it worthwhile, by making it point effective.
Yep. It's also a reasonable shared base point to work from. Like, if we play, I can be like, let's play 1500 points, and like, we're gonna get a reasonable game. Even if like your stuff is a little better or my stuff is a little better, our game is still going to be reasonable than just like, hey, Joe, what'd you bring? All right, I think I guess this stuff will work.
I brought 2 Phantom Titans. Yeah.
Well, look, unluckily for you, I brought 70 Tau Broadsides.
Oh, no, my Titans.
Game over for your Titans.
Oh, no.
And in this store, when we break your vehicle, we fucking break it.
Oh, why did I ever bring my figures to Boston? Why? All right.
I'm going to snap this Titan like one of our delicious Boston crabs.
Delicious Boston crabs. Steve's almost spit out his coffee. So going on to next thing on our list, Spartan Games kind of shit the bed with their newest Kickstarter. For people who are unaware who Spartan Games are, they're a UK company who puts out a ton of games that people will play for about 2 months and then stop playing.
Yes.
They have zero support for any of their stuff in any stores. No one has ever run any demos for them at any game company ever, any convention ever.
They have the Halo license.
No, Spartan Games always kind of just pisses me off because I'm just like, what are you doing?
You were jazzed about Dystopian Wars.
I love Dystopian. Dystopian Legions.
The 40K one.
Yeah. But they just were like, meh.
It's Halo.
Why don't you just play it?
Halo.
Yeah, no, it was more like, hey, you know, you want to do some sort of like, I actually emailed them. I'm like, hey, you know, you want any you know, like promotion or anything like that for the, nothing. Didn't get anything from them. And then I was like, you know, I like this game. I kind of, you know, you want to do something article wise and nothing. No,
and they're just going to get buried with the, like, that's the thing. All those flash in the pan minis games from 3 years ago, they're all dying.
Yeah.
All of them. Every single one of them is dying.
Well, I wouldn't call Dystopian Legions a flash in the pan game because it never really flashed.
Spartan overall, because Spartan they were starting to get some big traction with their ship games, not Legions, but
Firestorm Armada,
and the
Uncharted Seas.
I think the Dystopian ship game was a little more popular.
Well, that's
than Uncharted
Dystopian
Seas.
Wars. Yeah,
yeah, Wars, Dystopian Wars, and then.
The Halo one,
yeah, they're starting to get some traction, but like they fade quickly because they don't have support and they don't have
any sort of network to get people interested.
So you have
it.
Games that like Wild West Exodus. That game's going. That game's dying.
Thank God.
It got sold to Wayland Games.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. This is obviously internet hearsay.
Hearsay.
But apparently Wayland Games is atrocious.
Yeah.
The rumor mill has it that they're a legendarily flaming shit pile.
What do they? What else do they do?
I don't know.
I don't know Wailing Games.
I don't know.
I've only had a magic box that could tell me stuff.
I think they're a store, actually, or like a. I think they're a business that just sells shit. So I think this is them buying a title. Whatever. The Battle Foam guy sold Wild West Exodus to them.
Oh.
Yeah, so there were many people lamenting the fact that it was sold to Wayland specifically. But yeah, I mean, all those games are just disappearing, you know, and like games that people thought were going to be big or like people were going to be into, just gone. You know, Wrath of Kings, that huge fucking Kickstarter. Nobody plays that game. And that wasn't like a huge Kickstarter, like $100,000. That was a fucking like $2.3 million Kickstarter or some shit. And nobody plays that game.
Yeah.
You know, Wild West Exodus, same thing. Big Kickstarter, two big Kickstarters, dead. Disobedient Legions, I think, was launched with a Kickstarter, dead. All of those games gone, and it's kind of funny because like the companies that have established, with the exception of Workshop, which is rising like a fucking comet,
like a phoenix.
Yes, from the asses.
Yeah,
phoenix from the asses, and like PIP is struggling because they botched their fucking Mark III launch. Infinity seems to be, I wouldn't say rapidly declining, but Infinity seems to be on a downturn.
Yeah. Infinity's kind of just reached that point right now where they have as much as they can put into the market. And then, but everyone who's kind of playing, who like is into it right now, is into it. So I don't think they're really.
They're not growing.
They're not growing as much. No, but the thing with, okay, so Spartan Games, let's get back to this crazy ass Kickstarter idea that they tried to do. Okay, so they already have Dystopian Wars and Dystopian Legions. I think they're really focusing on this Dystopian line. They still do stuff with Drop Zone, because they did the Drop Zone land game, too.
Not Drop Zone,
Firestorm Armada. Yeah, they have some, like, Planet Storm or something like that, where it's that. But, so they're trying to focus on this. So they said, we're going to do a Dystopian Kickstarter. And everyone got kind of excited. Then they said it's going to be for a completely new game in 15mm. So Dystopian Legions is in 28s. Dystopian Wars is in like 1/1000th. It's like 3mm.
Yeah.
And everyone just lost their mind. Like if you looked at their Facebook page, which generally doesn't get a ton of comments, like 60 comments on this thing saying like, where's my stuff for Legions? Where's my stuff for Wars? Where's my stuff for Halo? Where's my stuff for this? You know, it's like, you know, why are you doing this Kickstarter? No one wants this.
Yeah.
You know, we want our stuff from our other games. And then they were like, okay, we're not doing a Kickstarter. Obviously, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they shit the bed pretty hard. And then they like, spun it so it seemed like, well, we're really interested in what our customers have to say. I go, you've never been interested in what your customers have to say since day one. Don't try and frame it as it is.
Well, they are interested now because their Kickstarter was going to fail. So
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just, it's so bizarrely funny. So
it's just so weird. Like, why? And that's the thing, too. Like, you have a game that you could have successful, but instead of tending to that, you just like, well, I'll just make another game. I don't know, the board games and miniatures and the tabletop gaming market is saturated at this point where you can't just scattershot games anymore. Like, your game needs to have an angle or needs to be very good. And you know, you should be consolidating on your successful titles, not trying to launch new IPs every fucking day.
Exactly. I was
the only company that can get away with that is Cool Mini, because Cool Mini is just selling board games.
Yeah.
They're not trying, like, Wrath of Kings was their only real attempt at a minis game. Kickstarter, everything else has just been a box board game. Like, The Others is pretty popular, Seven Sins.
But the thing is that Wrath of Kings isn't even like Cool Mini. They're just the distributor.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they curated the Kickstarter.
Yeah, exactly. Which is good, and they probably pushed up a lot of the upfront money to get all the stuff in,
mm-hmm.
so that it would come out, and yeah. So I don't know. I've heard bad things about Cool Mini, but I've also heard good things about Cool Mini.
I think Cool Mini had a shady past that they are moving away from now.
Yeah.
Like, they're very legitimate.
At least that's what they're promoting out.
They have not cheated anyone on any Kickstarter.
No, every Kickstarter has come out, and a lot of them have come out on time. They finally bought out Zombicide. So
yeah, they may or may not have been shady in the past, but it seems that they have turned that leaf around, if that was in fact a leaf they were hanging on.
Yeah. So I said I was supposed to remind you about some other games.
Apex.
Yeah, Apex.
From Die Hard Games LLC.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
All right, so it's a deck building, like, Tyrannosaurus game. There's like a T-Rex and shit, and it's like, I don't know. I guess it was really successful on Kickstarter. And they partially shipped their Kickstarter and then disappeared. They're like gone. Their Facebook page hasn't had an update in like 6 months, and there's just people like raging on the fucking Facebook wall. And I guess like someone in I think Massachusetts, they're like taking him to court. Like it's gonna be a big fucking deal. So like, yeah, again, you know, Kickstarter, buyer be fucking aware.
Exactly. It's like, why? In this day and age, after what happened with the Doom that came to Atlantic City.
And this game.
And
several other games.
But I mean, after the Doom that came to Atlantic City, why would a person who created a Kickstarter even attempt to do that? Because they know they're going to get sued. That's what happens.
I mean, he could have just fucking ran, dude. I mean, I don't know.
He ran over the border.
Yeah, maybe. He went to Canada.
It doesn't also help that one of our listeners was talking about Drop Zone Commander. Was that James who was talking about it? Yeah. Is that they're not shipping in any special box. They're just shipping the sprues.
In bags. That's great.
And I like a box, too. I mean, sometimes a box is really good for, like, helping carry the minis around and
price,
stuff
though.
Like that. What?
That's all cost.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. They just don't want to put it in, like... I get it from a standpoint of, like, you know, you kickstarted it. You didn't kickstart this for retail product. You kickstarted this for the toys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to send you the toys in the cheapest, most efficient manner possible. And that doesn't involve wasting a bunch of money on packaging that you're just going to rip open.
Yeah.
You know, and then also in if they care, it also would, like, maybe in someone's mind curb resellers. I don't think it would, because you would just sell the fucking box.
Yeah, in fact, it'd actually probably be a little easier, because you could just sell individualized ships.
Yeah, and or you could just sell the box that you came to, which conveniently you can ship easier because it's not full of new in box product.
It's true. It's true. But anyway, I don't know. That's it. Drop
Fleet.
Yeah. Drop Fleet looks amazing as it
looks super good.
I don't know if I'd necessarily care that much about the box set.
No.
About getting a fucking cardboard box.
No, minis, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out. I got what I got. I'll keep my itis contained to Lord of the Rings and
yeah. I at the auction.
No new minis games. That's what they like. Doesn't matter. Like, no new minis games. I have what I have. Done.
So I think I could talk about the auction and kind of the state of the industry, or the state of the Chicagoland gaming address that I normally do twice a year. It was weird this year at the auction. I love Games Plus auction. I go twice a year. I brought Pat B with me this time.
Did he make any sweet bids?
No, he did not make any sweet bids. But it was kind of strange for two reasons. One, there was not a lot of people there than normal. There was like a lot less people than normal. Like, normally the place is jam packed, full of people. This was pretty, like, you could always just find a seat if you wanted to. There was a lot of terrain there this year, like a ton of terrain. And I felt kind of bad because I brought terrain too. But, I normally never sell my terrain. I just was getting rid of some stuff. But there was, like, just a ton of terrain. Not a ton of minis. And there wasn't a lot of, like, cool, unique stuff. Like, normally I like Kickstarter crap. Like, people are just dumping their Kickstarter crap. Don't want it anymore. Not a lot of that stuff. Not a lot of newer games. A lot of older stuff that I thought was kind of weird. But not like old, old stuff. But, like, 40K stuff, fantasy stuff, a lot of like 2000s era gaming stuff. You know, not a crap ton of other stuff. And I was kind of disappointed by that, because I sometimes like to go there, get a deal on some crappy game that people are dumping out on.
I saw when you were doing the
little videos,
the video, I saw that the D&D adventure cards once again made it way back to the auction, and I guarantee that's the same box that I bought from the auction and then resold at the auction, and I'm glad to see that the curse continues.
So that's still not as bad as Elysian Drop Troops. Those things are really cursed.
Yes, the Elysian Drop Troop army. That was, I think everyone owned that except for me. The only person who didn't buy that army.
I had it for a while. I actually got some work done on it too, but I was just like, nope, done. Yeah.
Smelliot had it. I think Redmond had it.
Matt Shaw probably had
Shaw,
it.
Shaw, for sure.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Just went around like a high school prom queen.
And I guess in the end, everyone was really just kind of giving each other money for no reason because no one ever used that already.
Nope.
Wonder what ever happened to that Elysian dropship army?
It's probably sitting in the back of some guy's closet. Gathering dust alongside of his.
I'd like to think that it's going around a group of friends. And they're just like, hey, dude, I want to buy that Elysian army. All right, I'll sell it to you. That's what, I'm hoping that its curse still continues. Or, you know, maybe it's made its way to, like, you know, somewhere else that's running a little, you know, independent game store auction, like maybe like Utah or, you know, Washington State. And it's doing the same thing, except it's coming up at that
cursed.
Auction.
He's cursed, I tell you.
No one can bring themselves to work on it.
Oh, man. Let's do a fiction audio fiction podcast about the cursed Elysian drop troop army.
That'd be really boring.
Make it sound kind of like that podcast lore I was telling about. Mm. Like we can do it. That would be good.
The army looks appealing. You like the sculpts. Look how cool the troopers are and the grav shoots. Oh, and their amazing vehicles.
It's like, it is a full Elysian drop troop army. That's good. But the arms are two separate pieces. That's bad. But the heads are multi-posable. That's good.
The backpack is also two pieces.
Oh, that's bad. It comes with two resin Valkyries. That's bad.
That's bad.
Can I go now?
Free Frogurt.
I love Halloween.
The sprinkles contain potassium benzoate. That's bad.
Good old Halloween traditions. My kid's finally watching all of those.
The Halloween specials?
Yeah.
I heard they just did, what was it, 30? Number 30?
I think so. It was the 600th episode. I know that.
And that was the 30th Halloween special or some shit?
The first one came out in 1990, so probably not. Hmm. So it would be 90, 2000, 2010. So it'd be the... 2000, 2010, 90, 2000.
Are you sure the first one was 90?
Yeah, because the first season came out in 89. Or maybe it was 91. Because the first season was 89 to 90. So it would have been 1990 because it was the second season.
I'm just going to do this. Yeah. We're going to learn today.
Yeah. And so it would, in 2000, 2010, 2006. So it would have been 26, I think. 27. This is Halloween.
Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been 30.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is. I just remember seeing... I saw, like, there was some reason this one was specifically a big to-do.
Because it was the 600th episode.
That's
the reason it was a big deal. It wasn't really that great, either. There was, like, one segment out of the... It used to be back in the day...
Yeah, 27.
27, okay.
27.
So... It used to be back in the day that it was...
Well, the Treehouse was always the best episode of the year, I always thought.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even the best episode, there would be like one that was kind of meh, but it still was decent in quality. Nowadays, it's like you're lucky if you get one that's even semi-decent. The other two are just terrible.
Remember when the Halloween special was good? I remember.
I mean, they used to have like some scary elements to them, and now they're just parodies of movies. Yeah. Like I don't need a Hunger Games parody. Well, that's not Halloween-y.
They do have some parody, but their parody was always something spoopy. Like had terror. What was it? Like Terror at 14 Feet. It was like, on the bus.
Yeah,
you know, the gremlin on the side of the bus. And don't worry, dude. He fucking runs Hans Molman off the road, and his gremlin doesn't hit the tree and then explodes.
Yeah, it's all like even like the Dracula one based off the Bram Stoker's Dracula. Was
funny.
Was Halloween-esque.
Yeah.
The Shining.
It was a horror film.
Yeah.
The Hunger Games is not a horror film.
Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace.
Yes. You know. That's it. The Hunger Games is not a fucking horror film.
That's the problem.
Should not be in a Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I mean, they did a Paranormal Activity one. I'll give
that's
them.
That's fair. Halloween.
That works.
Spooky.
Yeah. Yeah. They should do a Saw one.
Saw also would be fine. I mean, they could. The Halloween episodes are always like famously gory.
Yeah.
There's like guts and shit everywhere.
Yeah, they just...
You could say we ate Uter and he's in our stomachs right now. Wait, scratch that last one.
I know. I think it's great, but it's just... They've dipped it. Like, they did a Transformers episode. How is Transformers Halloween-esque? It's stupid,
hey,
Steve.
You know what? The Simpsons is bad. But to its defense, The Simpsons has morphed into a show that's no longer for us.
Yeah.
Because I believe the people who are our age... collectively stopped watching The Simpsons at a certain point, so they had to, you know, change to be what the current like, you know, there's I guarantee you there are some people who are going to be our age in like 20 years who are like, man, you remember when The Simpsons was good?
No.
And they're going to be talking about, they're going to be reminiscing about the episodes that are going on like now.
There's not going to be that many episodes. I think The Simpsons have a couple more years in it.
Doesn't matter though. There's so many episodes. It's going to be on syndication for fucking ever.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they're doing
it's like Seinfeld. Like Seinfeld's by programming standards, Seinfeld is ancient.
Yeah.
And it's still like, you know, the bidding war for the streaming rights to Seinfeld was like fucking the most contested bidding war for any streaming rights that's ever happened.
Seinfeld will not. And my problem is that Seinfeld is not aging well. That's a big problem.
Oh yeah, I mean it's because there's many episodes that don't work because just straight up technology.
Yeah, well,
it's
yeah.
Like the Chinese restaurant episode, one of the benchmark great early episodes of Seinfeld, does not work as soon as anyone has a cell phone. Like the whole thing with George fighting with that lady over the payphone. But this thing, the younger set's not going to get into Seinfeld.
No, they're not.
It's, you know, but I think the younger set isn't into sitcoms.
No,
you know they've moved on to like they're. If it's not,
they're
streaming,
all watching their YouTube videos.
That's a huge thing. You got YouTube guys.
What's that idiot girl who's got a show on Netflix now? Miranda Sings.
Dude, I hate her fucking face. I've never seen her on YouTube, but I don't condone violence toward women. I would beat the shit out of that lady.
I don't know what it is. I just know that it was in my news feed.
Like she had like so the popular YouTubers all do the kind of same things, which is infuriating me, and it's infuriating me because they're doing it. You know, they're not artificially creating it. Like, that's the demand that they're filling.
Like, really annoying voices?
The thumbnail
yeah.
is, like, a close-up on their face, and they're, like, pulling a stupid face, and it's, like, you know, like, 13 things or whatever. And, like, that is the most annoying thing. And, like, some Let's Players do it, too, where it's, like, their face, and they have, like, they photo manipulate, so their eyes are big or, like, their mouth is big, and they're, like, happy day. And it's just, like, that is the ultimate in just rage.
That's what you rage about.
I see that shit. I see that thumbnail. Like, shitty thumbnails are one of my number one. Like, if it was just titties, like just to try and get the clicks, that is more of a pure and acceptable clickbait idea than like, why would you put your stupid face on there and make it look dumber than you already look by default? Like, you already look like a piece of shit idiot. Why do you make yourself look worse?
I don't know what to tell you there.
It's enraging. I don't know. And you, but it's falling out of favor, which I'm very happy about. Because YouTube's weird because YouTube has the algorithm. And like what is popular on YouTube is completely beholden to the algorithm, which is kind of weird because the algorithm is supposed to show people content that's good and like content that people like. But they swap it around because they tweak it. And so for the I've talked about it on Play On before, but there was the reply girl phenomena, which was huge for a while, and these reply girls were making fucking bank for a short time because the way the algorithm worked is it really rewarded you replying to YouTube videos because your replies would be shown and there would be thumbnails, and the thumbnails were always them with their tits hanging out, like, you know, just their jugs just flopping out,
boobs sell,
and their videos would be like 3 minutes. And it would just be them like, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't really that great. Or the girl like, I'm really excited to play the new World of Warcraft, Cataclysm. And you can play as the new races, War Gen or Goblins. like that's how it was delivered. Like, I was not exaggerating. That's literally how it was delivered. And like, you know, their tits are flopping around and like they would be making fucking bank and their videos would be super short and they'd just reply to everything. So they'd find any video that was trending, they'd do reply videos to it, and then people would start clicking on it and they would generate this huge amount of revenue for just like shaking their titties around. YouTube changed the algorithm that, and it penalized videos that were that short. It penalized videos for popularity that were replies. So the reply girls fucking vanished. And the way they've tweaked the algorithm now is longer videos are worse. So longer content on YouTube is worse for you financially. Mm. You want to hit a certain exact threshold of time. So like, I'll use the Game Grumps as an example. Their format has always been 3 episodes a day. Each episode is about 10 minutes. So it's a half hour of content a day. And they separate in different games. So, like, they'll be like Mario for 10 minutes, this
content
for 10 minutes.
Content is kind of rough to say. That's actual content.
I mean, it's just them bullshitting. It's a fucking podcast. Like, it's not an actual play. That's the thing. Like, there's a big difference between a Let's Play and an actual play. and which is why it's better for with two people.
See, I just wish it was more hard hitting content like we deliver, as opposed to
yes.
the BS that I tried to watch game. I tried to do the Game Grumps thing. I was like, people like this. I'm like, this is just miserable.
Yeah, well, watching it isn't good. Listening to it is good. That's
yeah,
what
I must be because I was like, these people are all awful.
Well, also, again, I don't watch all of them because there's the middle episode, which I don't watch anymore. I just watch the first two because the middle episode is like they're kind of like.
I don't know.
It's a little more eclectic and they like random people. But that's not that's beside the point. Yeah. So that's their way they've broken it up. That at their format that they've always had works perfectly for the current algorithm. They get bumped in interest, so their popularity grows, and like it's flawless for the way the algorithm is. That's just chance. Because they always had that format from when they started, and that's just always how it's been. And then the algorithm's changed a few times, but their format has always managed to sleaze through. Now currently, it's great for them. But longer plays, like someone who's doing like I don't know, a playthrough of Alien Isolation, right? And like they're doing like 30-minute episodes or like 35-minute episodes, and they're doing an actual play thing with like, you know, showing you how to do things or like, you know, learning to play the game, whatever. Those guys are getting buried. Like they're gone. Like if that was your claim to fame as far as like your Let's Playing, it's disappearing. And so like all of these like long play channels are just kind of gone. They're disappearing. So I wonder what YouTube famous for making terrible decisions, and they do it all the time. Like they did their new flagging thing for offensive videos is now a the long and short of it is if I get a bunch of people to concert flag a video, it's going to get pulled down automatically. No one's going to review it.
Huh.
So it's just like how Facebook has it, where like if enough people report your page, it just gets taken down.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's the, you know, because there's so much shit on there. It's just like, how do you control that? Well, you need to have someone actually moderate it. You need to pay someone to do that job. It's easier for them to just be like, well, we're just going to leave it up and let it automatically get taken down. And then if someone has a problem with that, they can file a claim, like you get to do appeal. So basically they force all of the problems onto their supposed, like, you know, content creators, the people who like keep their website going. They put all of the problem on their end. It's just like, yeah, your video got flagged. And like the copyright trolling is like huge on there too. And like, I think YouTube as a format will continue. I think the upload yourself doing video to the internet is a huge thing. I think as soon as a viable competitor to YouTube comes up, a real viable one, not Vimeo or any of the other ones
Vimeo
that currently exist.
Vimeo has HD. It's beautiful.
You can watch 4K on YouTube.
I haven't said anything in a few minutes. So
as soon as a real competitor rises, YouTube will be crushed. But it needs to be a real competitor, and that may or may not ever happen, because people are going to drop ship as soon as someone produces more control to the people who make the videos, and you know, polices the community a little bit better. And like, of course, YouTube comments are like the worst part of the internet. Like, I don't think there's an actual bigger cesspool online. Like even 4chan is like a glowing bastion of humanity compared to the YouTube comment section for the
most
part. It's
true. Well, I mean, I always say I just have the problem that comment sections in general should just be taken off. It should be something that universally is agreed upon. Just get rid of comment sections. Like, there's no reason to have comment sections.
It's true. People like it. It brings more people to video.
I know, but thing, it's but. Just I it's just too much negative. There's no positive with the comment section.
So, you know,
look at our page. Look at the Facebook page. Just nothing but awful people. Awful, awful people.
But we're
people.
Awful people. So,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's like attracting like, though. You know, that's
yeah,
just the way
exactly.
that is.
So do we have any more gaming stuff to talk about?
I mean, no, I don't. There's really not a ton. You know, there's a Cry Havoc is still hard to get. You know, there's the new trend of games being hot and underproduced.
Is that the new thing?
It seems like every really solid game is just produced in a really small number and it sells out really quickly, and then everyone's looking for it and can't get it.
Then they put it out a second printing
and nobody cares.
They overproduce the second printing. No one cares. And the price goes down.
Yep. Yeah. It's just it's kind
Dead
of
Dead of Winter.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Dead of Winter didn't even produce. That wasn't even a reprint. That was a new game.
Yeah, it's true.
And by all accounts, it's better than the first one.
Is it?
By all accounts, it's whatever. I haven't played it, but from what I've heard, it's better than the first game, and it's also an expansion on top of that. Like, it's a standalone game, and you can expand it. However, what did come out and is huge is the Betrayal at House on the Hill expansion.
Yeah, that's big.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking gigantic. Like, that's the thing. If you don't have, if Betrayal at House on the Hill isn't in your board game collection, you, it should be. Like, you really need that game. That game is phenomenal. It's a great game for people who like games. It's a great game for people who don't like games. It's just a very fun game. And with Halloween rolling around, now is the time to play some fucking Betrayal at House on the Hill.
That would be good. I would like to do it. Just my gaming group just can't. My friendly gaming group can't handle a game like that.
It's so simple, though.
They cannot handle that. They can't handle any sort of themed thing like that.
Yeah,
it,
rough.
It just does not work. Everything has to be fairly superficial on most of the levels.
Mm.
You know, anything that where you gotta like kind of like, I gotta think like I'm 1920s investigator when I'm doing this. You know, it makes it a little more fun. They just can't do it. That's why games like Catan or Ticket to Ride or Puerto Rico or something like that.
Puerto Rico
works so well because they're just, it's just so superficial.
Throw dice.
Yeah, you throw dice. You're just playing a strategy on that one. Like, oh, that's the thing I wanted to bring up. So I played a demo of a game, Witchborn. That I played, you know, at my barbershop of all places. Really cool, kind of hip place. But he's like, he's very much into, like, the owner is very much into this, like, whole very nerdy thing. I've talked about this place before. But they did, they had the guys who started up Witchborn, the demo, and demo the game for a bunch of people. Like, there was about, like, 10 people there. We all kind of sat down and played it. Probably one of the most interesting games I've played.
I thought it looked really weird. It's like you play on a world map?
Yeah. No, it's not a world map. So it's like, okay. So the whole game doesn't basically work. It's like Mordheim. But the difference is that instead of like terrain or, you know, a simple 4x4, they roll out
a
playmat.
Okay.
And the playmat has certain like little numbers on it. And then in each scenario that you will play is based off little tokens and stuff that you place on the map. And there's certain things in the map, like there is cover terrain. I wasn't a huge part of like the flat map being like interpretive terrain like that, where you're like, it's kind of, is this cover? Is this not cover?
My suggestion to them, if it's still in the prototype stages,
no,
is,
it's the first Kickstarter was already out.
Right. Well, if they want to make another map,
yeah.
I would absolutely rip off Mercs. Mercs has nailed 2D terrain, because what they did is when you roll a Mercs map out, everything that is terrain is bordered with a highlighted color. So like if it's trees, it's bordered with a like green highlighted color. So when you look at it visually, you're like, it looks like the top of trees. And also, you're clearly in the terrain because there's a green highlighted circle that shows you exactly. There's no question of terrain,
yeah.
Which I think is the best version to do 2D terrain.
So it works kind of like any Mordheim / Necromunda where you have a warband.
Okay.
You build your warband. You give them all the stuff with however many points that you have. And the cool thing is that the maps actually have like little starting boxes. Like you start off in this box or this box. You know, it'll tell you based on the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And when you achieve certain objectives, they have an app that you literally click on there, and like Dungeons and Dragons, like thing, you know how those play cards that you have for Dungeons and Dragons where a random monster pops up?
Right.
That's basically what it is. It's like when you reach a certain number, you click it and a certain monster will pop up, and then the monster will attack your guys or whatever else have you based upon, you know, whatever it says in there.
Cool.
And same thing, like random treasures and stuff pops up. So like think of Mordheim, but when you open up a chest, you get a random treasure based upon the app. I'm still not 100% great on app usage in games like that. However, what makes this game stand out differently than the other games is, A, it is all the scenarios are based upon the maps that you're playing. And there's different scenarios for every map. Like, so you could have one map with 15 different scenarios on it that you can constantly play. But this game works amazing with multiplayer. Not just two, but like up to four players playing at the same time. And it went relatively smoothly. And I was shocked at that, because I've never seen that work in...
Oh, it sounds more like they fused the concept of a warbands game with a board game.
But it's not necessarily like a board... It's kind of like a war game. Kind of like that, yeah. But it's got a lot more
You mush them together.
It's got a lot more of a D&D feel to it. I mean, not D&D, but like a Pathfinder feel to it. with combos and stuff like that and special rules. But they also, it's activation dice, like bolt action. So let's say I have eight guys on my force, you have eight guys on your force, we all put eight dice inside the bucket, rock and roll, pull it out. I pull a blue die, that Steve gets to go. Oh, next time they pull a red die, I get to go, right? That's cool. But they actually built in a rule that says if you get three dice pulled in a row, you can't get a fourth dice. You can't get another die pulled until someone else gets a die pulled. So, I mean, like, that's actually forethought and thinking that it's like, oh, okay, so that works. One of my big problems with bolt action is sometimes a guy will get six dice
and
in a row.
And you just get shit on.
And you just get shit on. I mean, yeah. It's part of the game, but.
Additional variance is not good.
Yeah. But it worked pretty well. I was kind of shocked by it. Not shocked. I mean, that and it also, they're doing a second Kickstarter. I would definitely take a look at it. They're actually teaming up with Reaper Bones to do different warbands.
Nice.
So, like, because right now the warbands are all based upon whatever the hell else you want to put on there. It's all pretty standard fantasy. You got
sure
barbarians, elves, dwarves, you know, ratmen, lizardmen, everything else.
Fantasy,
yeah. Very, you know, in each one, it's like, oh, the dwarves are really slow, but they're resilient. Yes, we understand. And that's the hard part about doing any sort of demo game with someone like me is that I wonder if the Witchborn guys,
or anyone who played like fantasy
or just any like a game, like when I was getting,
I mean,
like,
I got no problem with generic fantasy, but like, don't give me a bunch of fluff about it. Like, don't give me like 20 pages of like dwarf fluff. It's like, I know it all. I already know everything you're going to say.
Yes. They live underground.
Do
yes.
they hold grudges? Great.
Yeah. One of the things that drives me crazy when doing a demo game is that, like, I just kind of want a card that says, I've been playing mini games for 20 years now. Just tell me the rules. I you don't need to explain the rules to me. It's like, just tell me
it
the rules.
It should just be a card that says no fluff, just rules.
It, not even that. I mean, it's
no fluff, just rules.
It's like, I feel bad though, because I
want
to
can respond to you with no rules, just right.
I would love for someone to say, like, I get it. I understand how this works. Like, they're telling me how to use a ruler. I'm like, I know how to use a ruler in a mini game. it was really well done game. It was very well thought out, and I think that's what you'd appreciate. Is like, every time I'd be like, well, what if this happened here, and they would have a rule for
the contingency.
They had the contingency for it, so that means, like, these guys have obviously been playing for a while. I think I recognized them from the bunker back in the day.
Okay,
a lot of them. So, definitely check it out. I would give it a passive game classy thumbs up, just because I'd like to play it a little bit more before I give it a real thumbs up. But it's definitely.
I think we should change our rating thing where we say yes or no.
Yeah.
And I think we should go with the current political idea of we're just going to do endorse or unendorse, because it's the stupidest thing in politics.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I would also like to put that into our in the gaming
okay,
world.
Okay, well, I definitely endorse it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Because right. Then you can unendorse later if something happens.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Like, and just much like politics, endorsing doesn't actually mean anything. It's very silly, actually. And it's funny that people get very upset and intent about who is endorsing or unendorsing who. It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, he didn't endorse him. I can't believe it. What a bold political maneuver. It fucking cracks me up. So I want to go with that. So endorse, unendorse. Well, and if we didn't endorse it in the first place, we're still going to unendorse. Just because it tickles my own fancy.
I like it. So, yeah, I would definitely endorse it. I think it plays very well. And actually, another thing that I really liked is that it's the combat dice are really low. Like, you're never really rolling more than, like, three dice per model.
That was my one complaint about Age of Sigmar. They roll a lot of dice.
Yes. So you're not really rolling more. But it's skirmish, so you're only really attacking with one figure at a time. You're rolling max maybe three dice. There's not a lot of kills in the game, because since it's you know, warband style, so your guys, you want them to continue from game to game, so it's very rare that you're going to get a kill. I mean, you have to roll like,
you disable guys or whatever.
Yeah, you have to roll like three sixes in a row to like really kill a guy in a game.
Okay.
But there's a lot of knockouts. There's a lot of like permanent maiming in the game.
Ooh.
Yeah, like you could cut off the guy's arm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think those rules are always like neato, but for the most part, it's always like, why bother? Because you're basically just killing the character anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he doesn't have a leg. Okay. So you made my guy worthless. Why don't I just kill him and replace him?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like you could have like a big war band, you could have a small war band, you know. I think that the game probably would be difficult to play over. I don't know, if you have like a really experienced war band versus an inexperienced war band, it's like, why even bother playing? But I mean, if you're playing with a group of people and you could all play at the same time, which is the best part.
That's cool.
Like if you have a 4-person group and you're playing all at the same time every game, that works really well because you're all kind of growing at the same rate.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's about it for today. Do we got anything else?
I got nothing.
All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast, where Steve talks about farts and anime girls.
Mm-hmm. Casual!
I don't know what that means. The best thing that you could do to help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube as well. It's basically just this podcast on YouTube. I mean, it's nothing special in any way, shape, or form.
But a lot of podcasts mirror on YouTube. Just saying.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to say at a dinner party, like, well, I run several podcasts, you need to have a mirror on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's just the rules. I didn't make it up. That's just the way it is.
And you could also listen to our sister podcast, Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat B talk about video games and the Nintendo Switch.
And Pat's Retro Video Game Review.
Pat's Retro Video Game Review podcast.
I broke his balls about not doing any retro video game reviews lately, and I want to try and push him, make him do some retro video game reviews.
Well, you guys are going to talk about the Nintendo Switch as powered by DeWalt, apparently.
Oh, it's gonna be sweet.
That thing looks so stupid.
It's going to be sweet. The best thing is like, your opinion is so minor this time.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, like the Wii, because, I mean, when the Wii U came out, I also shit on it. I was with everyone shitting on it. I was like, that looks stupid.
And that now looks stupid.
And now I'm like, fuck, it was actually really good. Shit.
Well, no, the Wii U, the problem with the Wii U is that...
didn't have games.
It was underpowered
and didn't have games.
Didn't have games because
it was underpowered.
And then everyone who like started jizzing all over it only jizzed all over it because they were just playing rehashed games of Nintendo properties that have been
all
around forever.
Dude, you know what? Video games are just like movies at this point. All of the video games are fucking sequels. Look at every hot upcoming title. Everyone's a sequel. Final Fantasy 15, Kingdom Hearts 3, fucking Call of Duty Infinite Butfare.
I blame that on you and your peoples.
It's all sequels.
Yeah.
Everything is sequels. Fucking Wasteland 3. There is no game.
Civilization 6.
Yep. Yeah, there's no game console, no gaming medium that isn't currently buried with sequels because it's the same reason movie sequels are, because the budget for games is so high now. If you're not doing a little indie project, your budget is gigantic, so you can't afford to fail. And it's just like, well, we can't afford this game to bomb, so let's just make it, you know, Infinite Warfare.
Yeah.
You know, Infinite Butfare.
I can't wait.
Battlefield 1, also a sequel.
I cannot wait for Battlefield 1.
Also a sequel.
Looks so amazing.
Yeah. It's like,
the only game that I really truly care about now.
It's yet another rehashed Battlefield game.
You can also listen to the other podcast, Comic Book Logic, where Kevin and I are going to be talking about comic book movies, but actually we're doing comic book TV because we're going to review Luke Cage. Luke Cage coming at ya like a motherfucker. I love that show. Anyway, so Steve, until next time.
Superheroes are dumb.
Game Classy.